There's a handout sheet in the bulletin if you care to follow along. I always leave the blank. Most of the time I leave the back blank just in case you get bored and you want to draw a picture. We don't do a contest, weekly contest yet, but that may be around the corner. But we're talking about this interesting passage that Jesus presents in his Sermon on the Mount. A passage, possibly one of the most misunderstood passages in all of the Bible, at least in our application of our world today. You often hear people say, well, I'm not going to judge. You ever hear somebody say that? I'm not going to judge, right? And yet, in all reality, what we saw last week is we make judgments all the time, and rightfully so. The context of this passage is where Jesus is really, well, as we looked briefly at the Sermon on the Mount last week, after he gives us the Beatitudes, which really is talking to the nation of Israel about salvation. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he really breaks down that idea of being saved, salvation. Then he goes on, and throughout the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you have heard it said of old time. That was something that the Pharisees and scribes had perverted. And then he says, but I say unto you, and that's all the way through his sermon. He gets to this point in Matthew chapter 7, and he is, and the context still is correcting the Pharisees. Actually, in one aspect, reaching out to the Pharisees, exposing in their lives what they were doing, because the Pharisees and the scribes were very good. They were the ones who were doing the wrong type of judgments, and that's what he was explaining. That's the context. Now, last week, we saw that we make judgments all the time. I think the list that I presented to you was just a very short list. It could have went on and on and on. But if you ever witness to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're making a judgment in your mind, or you wouldn't witness to them. And sometimes when we help people, we make a judgment call to do that. And then when we serve people, we make a judgment call to do that. And there's many others. Those are just the three that we talked about introducing the series. Well, today what we're going to do now, if you'll look at the title, Proper Judgment and the Believer, what we're going to do is we're going to take this passage now, and we're going to glean these truths to instruct us. Because that's what Jesus is doing here. It's interesting. He was instructing the Pharisees also. And we're going to start, we're going to back up just a little bit into last week, although it wasn't necessarily a point last week, it's something that I just talked about. But number one on your sheet is, Jesus exposed our tendency to see a fault in someone else while ignoring ourselves. That is a tendency, is it not? Oh my. And the way I think I said it last week was, it's so easy to see sin in someone else's life or a shortcoming when it's a little more difficult to see it in our life. Amen? Yeah, you see, look at that. That's good. I'm glad you're awake. Glad you're listening. I'm glad you're thinking. Because that is true. And you know what? Here's what's going to be. That is going to be, I want to choose my words carefully, that is going to be a temptation in our lives. And just like we battle temptation every day, that might be a temptation that we're faced with quite a bit. I don't know about you, but I like to watch people, don't you? Sometimes, now did you ever notice, maybe it's just me, but I hardly ever go to the mall anymore. Do you go to the mall a lot? Remember when that mall first opened? It's just like, what are you going to do? Go to the mall. What are you going to do? Well, just go to the mall and walk around. See some interesting people at the mall, right? Now, when we were a young couple, Karen and myself, and we lived out in Indiana. It gets hot in Indiana, too. And so what we would do is we'd go to the South Lake Mall because they had air conditioning, and we didn't. Hot day, buddy. You went to the mall. You sat in there just like, wow, I can't believe this. This is wonderful. But I like to watch people. There's been times where we've been on vacation and we would be coming up the East Coast, and I say, let's just stop over at Ocean City, Maryland, and let's sit on the boardwalk till we see somebody we know. Did you ever do that? I did that. Usually takes about an hour. And it's just like, you say, well, how do you know? Well, see, I worked at Wood Mode. And what Wood Mode does is when they're on vacation, they all go to Ocean City, Maryland. I mean, that's just a regular spot. And so we go down there. We've stayed at the Plymouth Plows already, and co-workers are staying there. So we end up, you know, going out to dinner and just having a great time. You get back to work, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's why I came down here to get away from you. Follow me, right? I don't post my plans, right? And so, but isn't it interesting that it is so easy when you're sitting there looking at people, it's so easy to say, well, look at that. Well, look at that. Well, look at that, right? Don't you? Yeah, see, what do we do? It's a tendency, whether somebody doesn't necessarily dress a little like us, look like us, maybe act like us, and yet, the hardest thing in the world is to see ourselves. Amen? Now, that's verses 3-5, and so what Jesus is doing here is, I believe that he purposely exaggerates the situation. Because he says, he talks about this idea, what does he say? And he's talking, that mode is talking about a speck that's in that other person's eye. And we talked last week, and I found out this week that those little bugs are called the oats lice. Do you remember the oats lice when harvest would come in and the air was just full of those little black bugs? You couldn't ride a bicycle anywhere without getting the, and they wiggle around all the time. As soon as you get something in your eye, as soon as I get something in my eye, whole world stops, you know. I just can't walk around. What's the matter? Something in my eye. I'll get it out later on. You think, what? What's he talking about? That guy's nuts. Oh, yeah. As soon as you get something in your eye, it's like, oh, wait a minute. And then you bring in the whole, can you see this? No. Can you see this? No. And finally, you find some way they can see it. And, see, what Jesus was saying, someone with a plank in his eye often finds fault with the speck in the eye of another, not even noticing his own condition. And see, that's the situation, not even noticing the situation in which we find ourselves. Now, if we ever wait till we're sinless, till we actually want to reach out and help somebody, then I guess we'll never help anybody. But the idea was this, is the condescending nature of the Pharisees. You have to remember that. That's what Jesus was teaching. And so, really, we must be fighting the battle in our own lives. We must remedy our own faults before criticizing them and others. That's what Jesus was saying. So now we're getting to this proper judgment, okay? And so what he does, as we go to number two, look at verse 6. Verse 6 is very interesting, where he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. I got a dog. I like Maggie. Maggie's my dog. Maggie usually gets the last bite of everything that I have because she's just a great boxer. And you say, well, Jesus just had something against dogs, right? Well, see, you're talking about a whole different culture and a whole different day, is that when you look at the nation of Israel under the Mosaic law, dogs and swine were unclean animals. And here, Jesus isn't talking about dogs. He's talking about wicked people. I know that you knew that. So number two is that in exercising judgment, we're to exercise proper judgment in witnessing to the world. And that's what he was teaching. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Who do you think were the wicked people that Jesus was talking about in this sermon? The Gentiles or the scribes and Pharisees? Probably the scribes and Pharisees. Because they had taken and perverted everything. But that was just, I just thought about that. But Jesus warned his disciples not to give holy things to dogs or to cast pearls before the swine. I'm sure you already know that verse, don't you? Did you ever hear someone quote that? Well, I'll tell you what, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Don't give that to the dogs. If you've done any amount of witnessing, you start to understand what that means. And here's what he's talking about. When somebody or group of people take what you say, and they when they treat divine truths with utter contempt and respond to our preaching of the claims of Christ with abuse and violence, we're not obligated to continue to share the gospel with them. Now, we also don't turn around and gossip about them. And if anything, we need to pray for them. I've reached some situations in my life, I'd be honest with you, I won't name names, and just in a general, where I perceived that the message that I was giving to them, they were mocking and jesting and making fun, and so I just quit witnessing to them. That doesn't mean that I quit talking to them, that we just didn't talk about Christ, we just didn't talk about salvation, and what you did is you just prayed for them. Because that's what we're supposed to do. That is proper judgment. And that's what Jesus was teaching here. I'm reminded about, if we read about, see, here's the thing, is that we have these wonderful biographies of people who've gone before us. And some of the best reading you'll do as a Christian is to read biographies of really wonderful Christians. But you'll find out in their lives that a lot of them had tremendous struggles in their lives. I remember I read about J. Hudson Taylor. You know who J. Hudson Taylor was. He went with the China Inland Mission, and he was a pioneer in missions, and he went to China. Did you realize there was a day when China was an open country? Missionaries went there and preached the gospel, right? J. Hudson Taylor. If you read his life, it's a tremendous read. But he went over there, no support. He went over there and he carried around everything he owned with him, and he hired a person or two to help him do that. And the one guy just took about everything he had. He ended up sleeping on the steps of a building with what little he had under his head, because they'd have to move his head and wake him up to steal the rest of everything he had. Those are trying circumstances, are they not? Now, if you ever see me sleeping out here on the steps of the church, just help me out, okay? At least carry me inside. Well, that's not who I wanted to mention about, but he had some trials in his life. He witnessed to a lot of people. He impacted a lot of people for Christ. And I'm sure that he met with stern opposition, and he knew what to do. What did he do? He just withdrew the message. But he went on. I think of George Whitfield, and that's the one that I usually talk about here, is that he had people that went around and heckled him. But here's the power of God. The one fellow that heckled him the most was making fun of him, and he got under conviction because he was trying to imitate him preaching, and he made the mistake by reading one of his sermons, and he became under conviction. And he got saved. See, that's... you know what happens when people get saved? It's all the power of God. And that's what we have to tune into, folks. We think all the power lies in the fact that I'm cunning and I have all the answers, and I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. God does. And you know what? Jesus died for our sins. Amen? And that's powerful. People say, well, you don't know exactly the right things to say all the time. Absolutely not. And neither did people that went before. And even when they withdrew the message from people that gave them fits, God still interceded in his power and saved some of them. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. That's powerful stuff. See, now as we work down through this passage, he's talking about, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Cast not your pearls before the swine. See, all this passage is teaching us proper judgment. So we got to exercise this judgment in witnessing. So what happens is, now as he goes on, the judgment that Jesus teaches requires spiritual perception. And that's what he is teaching now. Spiritual perception. You say, really? Well, let's continue down this passage. You know, I like the fact that I can tell you to turn to Matthew chapter 7 and you know right where to turn, right? But when Matthew wrote his gospel, he didn't say Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Okay? It came as a whole unit. And as they read through it, they perceived different things. I would say this. If you look at verses 7 through 12, what we're going to look at right now, you might think that we're now leaving off this idea of judge not that you be not judged, and we're going to start a series on prayer. Because almost everybody includes this section in the series on prayer. Well, that's what it talks about, doesn't it? Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there? And then he goes on and he gives an illustration of that, right? Ask, seek, knock. And it's like, wait a minute, Jesus is teaching all of a sudden. He said, wait a minute, I gotta talk about your prayer life now. No, what he's doing is he is saying this, that if you and I are going to perceive what we need to perceive to make proper judgment in witnessing to people, we need God. We need Him. We need, more specifically, we need His wisdom in our lives. Well, what is wisdom? Do you ever think about that? Now, I know I'm not looking it up. I could get my phone and we could Google that and I could read it. And, you know, Google's around everywhere and Siri's around everywhere. And now they have all kinds of these devices that sit in your house. What are some of the ones you get in your house now? Huh?
Alexa.
Alexa, you know, what's that word we're looking up right now? Wisdom. Alexa, what does wisdom mean? Didn't she tell you? Now, here's the thing. Can you imagine arguing with a device like that in your home? I know better than you do. No, I don't. No, you don't. Right? Can you understand that? So, I can only imagine what my dog Maggie would say to it while we were out of the house. If it could actually read Boxer. And all of a sudden, you know, from Petco ends up showing up at the house, got the credit card, my dog ordered this over the thing, right? You think, what? What are you talking about? Well, we have all these devices where we have all this information, yet what is wisdom? I'll tell you what wisdom is, properly assessing the situation and understanding how to apply the truths of the Bible to the situation. Is that not what wisdom is? Oh, yeah. See, a lot of times it's like this. We become great at quoting scriptures. And we become very poor at the application of them at the right time. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know what? Here's the thing. The judgment that Jesus teaches, it requires, in your life and my life, spiritual perception. Now, I don't like when people get upset with me. Do you like when people get upset with you? I've met some people already that I think they enjoyed a good, just the tension of it all the time. I remember I went to First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana when I went to Bible college. And in the main service on a Sunday morning, there was probably 8,000 people in the sanctuary, okay? They had a balcony built and it was full. So they had, I don't know, they had 7 or 8 assistant pastors, right, Karen? Set them all across the front. The assistant pastors would sit up front there like this, and the pastor would be up there, and he'd be preaching. And this one assistant pastor, I could tell you his name, but I don't want to, okay? See me after service to tell you his name. And he's sitting there, and all these people out there, and let's just say right over here where my brother Richard's sitting. Raise your hand, Rich. Okay. This guy, and the platform was raised a little higher than this, and this guy, he's sitting there, and this lady obviously invited some of her friends that never went to church, and so this lady got a cigarette out in the service. Now you have to realize this is 1979. Well, no, this is before this, because before I was there, because he used to talk about this. So this was early 70s, maybe even late 60s. So she gets it out. And the one guy said, well, what'd you do? Surely you told Brother Howells about that. He said, oh, no. I was hoping she'd like it. I want to see what he'd do. See, there are some people like that in life, right? So you might meet a couple people like that, but I really don't like it when things are tense. Do you like it when things are tense? Nah. So here we have the... So what happens sometimes is, sometimes when you witness to people, they have a tendency to get upset, right? They have a tendency. I remember I was outside of Freeburg years ago. This is years ago. Me and Mark Pheasant. Mark went home to be with the Lord a couple years ago, and he was my age, and lost the battle with I don't know, what did he have? Parkinson's, yeah. And he was a great guy. Loved the Lord. He's great kids. Wonderful wife. He went with me. We're stopped outside of Freeburg. It was the Stahl house. I knew him, went to school with the boy and stuff, and knocked on the door, and Mr. Stahl, he was an older man, he comes. And I said, I'm Dave Dresser, I live in town here, and just concerned about your spiritual condition. Really didn't know all the right words to say. Wanted to witness to him about Jesus, wanted to maybe leave a track. And he said, well, I go to the church in town there. And I said, okay, well, that's good. And he goes, but you know, I believe that when you're dead, you're dead. And it just struck me that day. I said, well, Mr. Stahl, I said, why do you even go to church? Whack! Door went shut. I'm glad I wasn't in there, buddy, or I'd have got... See, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? People get a little irritated. But see, the wisdom, what we're talking about here is what Jesus said. When do we not present the message after we're talking to folks? Well, see, the wisdom and power for such a life must be given to us from above. Now, let's look at the bigger picture first. If we think that we can live out the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount by our own strength, we failed to realize the supernatural character of the life to which the Savior calls us demands that we come before God and ask. Ask, seek, and knock. And here's what... No, that's number four. That number four is this. The three imperatives, ask, seek, knock, are in the present tense, suggesting both perseverance and frequent prayer. And here's what Jesus is saying. We have an invitation to ask and keep on asking. We have an invitation to seek and to keep on seeking, to knock and keep on knocking. Wisdom and power for the Christian life will be given to all who earnestly and persistently pray for it. And that's what he's talking about there. Asking. And it's given in the sense, if you and I were reading in the Greek, we would see that it's not just, well, Lord, I asked you one time and you didn't give it to me. You know. Remember when we were kids, we said this, is that, you know, when they were handing out brains, you thought they said trains and said, no, I don't want one. Do you remember that? Yeah. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a persistence in our life. Do you persist? After something that you want. Do you? Well, maybe as we get older, we don't persist as much, but let me remind you that I have a 6-year-old grandson. And when he gets a plan in his mind, okay, nothing is going to get done until the plan is revealed and at least promises are made. Okay? And if there is, I love it. I go like this. I'll say, he'll be sitting in the back in the van. So we got the van back now, and he just loves it. So we drive the van, and that's his vehicle. And we can't ever get rid of the van. So I'm sure he's a praying man, and so a praying young man. And my van will never break down again because my grandson, it can't break down because he doesn't know what it's going to do. He'll sit back there, and every once in a while he starts like this, and he says, Grandpa. And I'll say, what? And if he doesn't start into it right away, then he's working on something, because then he'll go, Grandpa, what? And we might say Grandpa like 5-6 times. He's working on a plan. See, this is where the persistence begins. Okay? And, well, you know, Grandpa, and he'll just start right. I said, Blake, what do you want? I'd sure like to go to Walmart to see the new cars that are out. do you think we can go to Walmart to look at the new cars? And it's just like, well, when do you want to go? We could stop on the way down. Then I say, this sounds like you got a plan. I don't have a plan. What are you talking about, a plan? See, he's persistent. To the point that we usually, you say, well, you're spoiling it. You can stop at Walmart and look at cars. Okay, you guys, ladies, close your eyes, because I don't want to reveal this to you. Okay, you guys, do you still look at the toy section in Walmart? Yeah, buddy. I tell you what, you know, they say the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Forget that. I just go look at them. I go look at the Lego sets. You say, I can't believe my pastor does that. Well, might find something on clearance. Yeah, see, you can always buy something on clearance. You know, that's the old clearance. Yeah, why do you think they run cars and trucks on clearance sales, huh? Because they know people like that word clearance. It's just like, okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. In our lives, what are we persistent about? Jesus has said this, and notice the illustration he says. He talks about food. Gets my attention right away, right? Which of you has a son, and he asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone, right? Is that what the first illustration is? I think I got it. Oh, yeah. What Jesus is saying there, and he talks about the fish too, right? You're not going to, if you ask a fish, not going to give him a serpent. See, there's two applications there for the asking, seeking, and knocking. He says, you know what? I'm going to start with the human level. Okay? You ask a loaf of bread. You go over to Dad's place. Dad, I need a loaf of bread. He goes out back, gets a rock, says, ha, 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 ha. Right? No. And Jesus is talking to those people saying, you know what? He's going to give it to you, but you got to ask. And then he says this, is that which of you asked a fish he's going to give a serpent? He's not going to give pain, because a serpent would be associated with pain. And so what are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. He's talking about proper judgment for the believer. And he says, what you come, you ask, and you keep on asking. You seek, you keep on seeking. You knock and keep on knocking. Now, a lot of times what we say is we say, okay, if we pull that out of context, we think, well, that's just a blank check for a Christian to ask for anything he wants, and that's why we don't get it. That's why... There's other passages that teach that. The other passages say something like this, where you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts. But Jesus is talking here about wisdom that we might make the proper judgments as believers. Realizing the initial crowd that he is talking to are the Pharisees, but the application can be to us also. And so, and then we come to verse 12, because it's, well, the verse 12 part of this, oh yeah, he says, therefore, isn't it, don't you know the word therefore is there because there's something that went before it, right? Therefore? Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so what's he talking about? Proper judgment. You want people to judge your actions the way you would want to judge other people's actions. That's what he's saying, correct? Amen? That's what he's saying. So this whole passage is one where taken together is, Lord, how am I supposed to judge this world? How am I supposed to be this witness to this world? We meet people that are hostile to the gospel. And what do we do? Well, okay. So we determine that I'm not going to cast my pearl before the swine. I don't have to tell him that. I don't have to tell her that. I can tell God that. I don't have to get with my brothers in Christ and say, yeah, person down the street, oh, they were mean to me. You know what we do? We get on our face before God. We say, God, only you can take care of this. Only you can take care of this. Lord, help me. Not just today. And the next day, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm seeking you. Lord, I'm here. It's me. I'm knocking. Do you see the intensity in the passage? Because the intensity's there. The only way we don't see it is if it's just like, well, Lord, I'm really content with my life. I have all I need. I really don't have to ask you for much. I really don't have to seek for much. I got it made. See, it's not even talking about the material things in our life. It's talking about my life in concert with everybody else's life around me. Families across the street from this church, the people that live in your community. I'm so happy we've had an invasion of groundhogs at our house. You say, you learned so much about me just coming, okay? We counted 7 groundhogs in our house. Now, I know if you're from Louisiana, that's good eating. Down in the bayou?
We
don't you have groundhogs? Armadillos, okay. Yeah, they come and you just hold them right up like you take a spoon and get them. But anyways. Huh? Half shell. Possum on a half shell. All right. So anyways, being the neighborly guy that I am, I'm trying to get rid of these groundhogs. So we trapped a couple, shot a couple. So I got a conibear trap, 220. It'll bust your hand. I set that thing the other day, and I sweat. I sweat like crazy sweating that because, you know what? I just didn't want to come in with my hand all set and have the trap still on and say, can you help me? I can just see that. Yesterday, I got one. Was that yesterday, Ken? Day before. Took pictures of it, sent it all around. My neighbor was outside. Joe, I picked it up. I took it up and said, hey, you want a groundhog? See, I'm working on good neighbor relations. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing, okay? That's what we ought to be doing, right? Share and share alike. So he hollered down. He said, are you skinning it out? Put it on the barbecue. I said, come on down. The whole neighborhood's invited. No takers. So I just have it festering right now to marinate, right? Yeah. But anyways, I'm done. See, God has called us to proper judgment. If you take the words of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 to mean that you don't make any judgment, you're dead wrong. Absolutely dead wrong. But Jesus goes on and explains what kind of judgment we ought to be having in this world. And that's what it means through that passage. Let's pray.